Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Mike McFarland joining us to talk Royals, to talk baseball. What's up, Mac? How are you?
Doing good. What's going on, boys?
Okay, so
Is Nate in full panic mode? Are you in full panic mode yet?
No, I'm actually okay with it because I said, look, big picture, if you'd have told me on May 7th that the Royals were a game out of first, a half game behind the White Sox, and they had a big series at Kauffman Stadium to go to, I'd have been fired up. It just feels bad because they've lost five in a row, but where they are right now is maybe a little bit better than what I had hoped for. I mean, they're in the thick of it, and they got to turn things around.
This isn't last year where everything gets magnified over such a short schedule.
Right.
You know, that's the difference. And, you know, you're still trying – you're missing a key part of your offense, and it's still out. You know, Zimmer is kind of throwing a wrench into the system in the bullpen because I think he would have been a difference maker in this series by getting some crucial outs. So, yeah, I mean, look, where we are right now, I'm kind of happy with it. And it's the whole season, it's how you catch a team at a certain time. The Indians are red hot. They came in, all the breaks go their way, and that's what happens during the course of 162 games. Sometimes you just run into a team where, you know, balls off the knuckles fall into right field for an RBI, and, you know, guys that one pitch you shouldn't have thrown gets hit into the bleachers, and, you know, those type of things happen, but that's what happens when a team's hot. The fluky things go the other team's way, and, you know, it'll come back to the Royals, and we'll have some of those games where, hey, the worm has turned and we're going good now.
Hey, this was never going to be all peaches and roses, was it?
You think it was going to be peaches and roses all year?
That's what Whit Merrifield said, and so the answer is no.
I thought it was going to be, so I'm completely
right,
panicking
wrong.
Right now.
You think it was going to be peaches and roses all year?
Before we get into...
What the hell is peaches and roses?
Well, Whit Merrifield
that's right, that's
asked
my
us,
question.
Correct if response. Did you think it was going to be all peaches and roses? Because if you did, Whit Merrifield thinks you're nuts.
You think it was going to be peaches and roses all year?
I don't know, Mac, but he makes a point. He makes a strong point.
Those are both good things. Did you think it was just going to be good things all year?
I don't know.
That's borderline Rexism right there, isn't it?
I think it was going to be sunshine and puppy dogs.
Hey, I get the point. Now, listen. So before we get back into the Royals, I wanted to ask you about Albert Pujols, who was designated for assignment. And I don't know if he's going to keep playing, but that might be the end for Albert Pujols, who's for sure a Hall of Famer. But I'm going to see if this blows your mind like it did me. There was a tweet from MLB analyst Ryan Spader. And so then all of the replies to this tweet were people arguing with him and telling him there's no way that this is right and he's totally wrong. And then he actually showed the math of how he came up to it and people still question it. He tweeted this out and apparently this is correct. Albert Pujols has gotten a hit off 10.21% of all players to ever throw a pitch in an MLB game. Is that
holy? That's a ridiculous stat. One, that takes a heck of a lot of time, but to figure that crap out. But
right,
that's pretty damn impressive.
Right. So
look, it's a tremendous career. One of the greatest hitters of our time, obviously, and in the game of baseball. You look at that. The stretch he had when he was with the Cardinals and early on before he started, you know, the injury started catching up. The power, the RBIs, you know, everything that went into him as a hitter, the feared hitter of his generation without question.
So and the math is there have been 19,979 players in MLB history, of which 10,501 of them have thrown at least one pitch, and Albert Pujols has a hit off of 1,072 of them. So that's 10.21%. There's more teams. Teams use more pitchers now with the bullpen usage and everything else.
Right,
but still, it's like a mind-boggling stat, and he's one of the greatest hitters of our time. And so I just thought you'd appreciate that and enjoy that, Mike McFarland.
Any chance the Cards sign him for a little swan song type thing? What do you think?
Well, any chance the Royals sign him to be DH instead of Ryan O'Hearn? No, I didn't. No, I'm not saying that. So, I'm out. Nope. I was thinking it. I don't know.
I actually
say it.
I texted Joel Goldberg that last night.
What
chances the Royals would sign him? And he said, look, I don't have any inside information. I don't know if the Royals would consider it or not, but there are some things about it that make a lot of sense.
Well, would you rather have Ryan O'Hearn or Pujol, this Pujols as your DH?
This is his hometown.
Mac, Jake, say something.
You're right.
I don't
know. Throw it out there.
Come on, Jake, sure, say something.
I'd take Pujols.
Whoa!
Only for the fact that he's a professional hitter and he could probably, help some other guys around here be professional hitters.
He did have 5 home runs, which that's about all he did this year so far. But still, throwing it out there, hell, don't know.
So can I? There's a moment in Albert Pujols' career that stands out to me so much that to me, said what he was about as a baseball player. When 2004 was the first year I got to travel with the Royals and was doing all the post game interviews on the field and everything, and so that meant that in close games I would get to go down and stand in the little camera bay right next to the dugout, right by home plate, and watch the last inning or two of the game up close and in person. And you know this, Mac. I mean, like, for those of us peons that never set foot on a Major League Baseball field, being that close, like right on the field in the dugout, basically, you see the game differently there. It just the speed and power and ability of all the players is so much more in your face. And Albert Pujols was not a big stolen base guy, right? He was nobody ever considered him like some sort of speed demon or anything like that. 2004, they're playing the Royals, and it's a 10-inning game, it's 1-1, and Albert Pujols comes up, and he's facing Rudy Sáenz, by the way, if you guys remember him as a Royals reliever.
One of my favorites.
He draws a walk, and the Royals aren't really paying any attention to him because he's not a stolen base threat at all. He steals second base, then on a ground out, he goes to third, and then he scores on a sacrifice fly, and the Cardinals win the game in extra innings. And I just watching that, I was like, man, this guy, he's just a baseball player, man. Like that, when I saw him do that, I thought this guy just knows how to win a baseball game. I mean, yeah, he can hit, he can walk, he can do everything, but like he can steal a base when he needed to, but he only did it in situations where he really needed to.
And he was healthy and would pick the right pitch, and know exactly that he could do it, and it's just one of those things. Just a guy that had an intense sense of and feel for the game, knowing that it was okay to go in this situation on this count. And now all of a sudden, all right, I took a shot. If I get thrown out, well, we'll just keep going. But I have a chance to get into scoring position and did it. So, look, it was just those little things. Wasn't bad, a bad defender either. Just an all around freak of the game that that is one of those guys that you could just climb on his back and okay, well, they got a pitch to Albert in this situation and he'd come through. So the nicest guy you could possibly meet, genuine person, and one of those guys that now batting Albert Pujols, you run to the TV set and watch this guy crush. I mean, he wasn't into launch angles, wasn't into anything else. He was just into finding the barrel and doing damage. That's all he concerned himself with. But short, compact, and extremely powerful stroke.
Mike McFarland's our guest, right? Mac, you asked us if we're panicking. How do you feel about the Royals right now as they go through this losing streak?
Well, I don't know. I'd start with the 24 punch-outs over the last two games. I watched the game yesterday and saw the kids' first inning yesterday pitching for the McKenzie pitching for the Indians, and I said we're gonna touch this guy. I said this is a guy we're gonna get to today, and I don't know. When things are going a little rough, you tend to put a little more pressure on yourself, especially with runners in scoring position, and you start chasing pitches. You start muscling up and creating that tension, and makes your swing a little bit longer, and trying to do too much. It just looks to be the case right now. But you know, from the pitching standpoint, I thought Danny's just been outstanding. He has so much more explosion on his fastball right now. It's fun watching him pitch. But again, this offense has to start getting something going, and Soler's got to get a little bit more consistent. Dozier's looking better, you look up on the board and see you're under 200. It puts a lot of pressure on you, especially coming into a new contract. So a lot of those things are weighing, and you can point to when things aren't going well. We just need to get on a little bit of a roll. We're playing a wounded White Sox team right now, and it's an opportunity to hang in there and make some headway going into playing Detroit again.
I mean, they had to battle through adversity. Like you said, they lost Eloy Jimenez in spring training. They've lost Lewis Robert now for maybe the remainder of the season. They had Billy Hamilton starting in center field the other day, so they've had to go through some tough times early on. But
I saw that, and I'm like, wow.
Right.
That's where they're at right now?
That's exactly where they're at. And now they're in Kansas City tonight. But, Mac, Brad Keller, here we go again. I don't know, like, what other creative ways I could ask you about Brad Keller. Carlos Rodon has pitched wonderfully so far this year, but he's got to come back down to earth. And Brad Keller, it's like the total opposite. We didn't think Rodon would even be in the rotation for the White Sox. He's been one of the best pitchers in the American League. Keller, opening day starter, and he's pitched like the guy that is clinging to a spot in the rotation. I don't know what else to ask you about him this week, Mac, but he's got to turn things around at some point, doesn't he?
Yeah, everything just looks forced with him. Usually it's fluid, and the ball jumps out of his hand with life, and right now it's just inconsistent and muscled up and trying to oversink the ball or overthrow the four-seamer or oversnap the off-speed pitch. There's just no rhythm and tempo to him like we've seen in the past. And it's a kid that's putting a ton of pressure on himself right now because he came in being the guy into the rotation after the phenomenal year last year. He'll get on a roll. He'll figure it out. I know they're working hard on it, and probably there's a little paralysis by analysis right now, just watching tapes and trying to figure stuff out and just not allowing him to be free and easy like he was last year. So you got to remember he's still young. He's going through a stretch that, you know, in the end, if staying healthy, he can come back to and remember what it was like and what he did to come out of it in his future years as a pitcher. But you know, it's just he needs a couple breaks to get him on a little bit of a roll, and you know, one big ground ball double play to just let the shoulders relax and catch his breath and get back to the life on that fastball that made him so dominant last year.
What did you think of Daniel Lynch's major league debut?
I like the stuff. You can just tell the difference between a veteran and a major league. A guy that's had a few more starts in there, but I saw some good action on the pitch. I think his breaking ball was as advertised. It's just, you know, you're out there on the stage for the first time in front of more fans than you played in front of in your life. You know, those things have to bear out, but he'll get more comfortable. A little bit of overthrowing. I thought he did fine, and like I said, I think it was as advertised. It's only going to get better as he gets more comfortable.
Do you wish that Angel Hernandez was behind home plate tonight?
You know, it's where you want to go with this one.
Wherever you want.
Yeah, there's how many times have we seen on quick pitch on MLB on all these close replays that are supposedly supposed to take doubt out of everyone's mind. This year, it's just been an explosion of what the hell tape are they watching? You know, that's the tough part. And, you know, I heard something yesterday said the best part of the argument was Angel Hernandez says, well, that ball hit his shirt, and then the replay showed that it came nowhere near his shirt. So I don't know what they're looking at. It's frustrating. There's been plays at the plate where the guy never touched the plate, yet still called safe. Bang, bang plays. Was it in the back of the mitt at first or not? It just seems very inconsistent right now on the replay system. And, you know, to Singer's credit, he said, look, that didn't affect me. I just got to be be better and obviously control his emotions a little bit, you know, coming off the field. But, you know, you can vilify Angel Hernandez all you want, but there's been, you know, average to below average umpires in the major league since the beginning of time. You just got to deal with it and find a way to persevere.
Mac, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Take care.
That's Mike McFarland. One more baseball note. On this date in baseball history, Bob Kendrick tweeted this out, and with a beautiful picture. On May 6, 1945, Jackie Robinson made his Kansas City Monarchs debut, going 1-for-4 with an RBI double in a 6-2 victory over the Chicago American Giants. So maybe on that this anniversary that, I know we're a day later, but Kansas City can beat Chicago again. But look at this. I saw this picture. I had to retweet that. Look at that picture of Jackie Robinson and the KC Monarchs.
That's uniform. Awesome.
Isn't that awesome? I'd love to have that jersey. Maybe I will soon. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.